Going home. Amen. I was, some of you also were there Thursday. I got to see Brother Charlie before he passed on. And when you see that, when you see it, it's always a reminder like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I think sometimes that's why preachers have maybe a greater sense of urgency, or like, you know, like a greater understanding. They're in front of it more often. You're in the death room or the sick room, and you know, therefore there's like, it's more of a reality that this is what's going to happen to you. You know, this is what's going to happen to you. And I was reminded of again Thursday. Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I thought about Brother Charlie. He lived his life, and he's at this point, and obviously it wasn't going to be very long, and he's going to slip on and slip away from this life to the next. And I was reminded once again, you better make sure you know Jesus. Amen? I mean, it's unavoidable. You better make sure. You better make sure. But again, we're thankful to know that Brother Charlie knew the Lord, had a profession of faith. I appreciate his faithfulness to our church. My, how faithful he was. And the more I carry on in this Christian walk, the more I appreciate the faithfulness of a Christian. And he was faithful. Thank God for that. You could count on him. It wasn't like you, wasn't like down in Sunday school class, you was thinking, I hope Charlie makes it today. You knew he'd be there. You knew he'd be there. And if you didn't make it, you know what he'd say, right? I missed you. Where you at? Where you been? You know, and I sure do appreciate that faithfulness. And I appreciate Brother Charlie believing in me, believing that God was working in my life. He had a lot to do with me being here today. And I remember that phone call that if I would prayerfully consider being considered being a pastor here, and I told him I'd pray about it. I'll tell anybody I'll pray about it, absolutely. And then a few weeks later, he called and said some more information, asked what I thought, and long story short, here I am. And I appreciate his friendship and his encouragement through the years. And thank God for the hope of the gospel. Amen. Thank God for that. So, all right, Acts chapter number 24. Acts 24 this morning. Verse number 25. Acts 24, verse number 25. We had a good homecoming, didn't we? We thank God for that. It's wonderful. Wonderful service. Wonderful fellowship. Wonderful to see some of our members that hadn't been here in a few services, and wonderful to see some that hadn't seen in a few months. My, what a blessing. Hey, you tell them we want them back. Amen. We want them back. We sure do. I appreciate the good amen corner we had, don't you? We need to put them on payroll maybe, hunt them down. You know one of them, don't you, Sherry? One of them's related to Sister Diane. We want them back. We sure do. Appreciate them being here and their fellowship, their encouragement. My, what a blessing. What a blessing we had last Sunday morning. Still, remember, we're going to probably on a couple weeks, next week, this week, going to call Robert Gibson, get him back again on a date. So, but he's doing better, so we thank God for that. But that's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. So, all right, Acts 24, verse number 25. Some brief context here. Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem. He was arrested in the temple. There was, you could say, a coup against him. He's basically on a trial. Felix is there to hear the Apostle Paul, his testimony. He heard his testimony, heard the story. And then Felix, thank God, he's curious about what Paul said. But we're going to find out curiosity of Jesus doesn't mean you know Jesus. But and so Felix, he's the governor of Judea. He's a Roman governor of Judea. He is an occupier. He occupies Palestine. But Paul stands before Felix here. But we'll read verse 24 also. The Bible says in verse 24, "And after certain days when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was a Jewess," she's a Jew, "he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ." So thank God for his curiosity. In verse number 25, so here's the conversation. "And as he reasoned," as Paul, "he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" We'll do verse 26 too. "And he hoped also that money should be have given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he's manipulating the situation, trying to get some money out of the deal. In verse 27, if we read it, Paul would have been there for 2 years in captivity. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this service, for our people. Again, our hearts are with the Ballard family. We pray for them. They're our friends. Lord, they're our people. Lord, all of us, many of us and their family shared. We share one Lord. We shared a common pastor. We shared a common church. We are linked to their family. And God, we thank you again for Charlie's service, and we pray for the hearts of this dear family. Lord, help us now as we enter into this preaching hour, that, Lord, you would give us a door of faith that it might be opened, that you would give me a door of utterance that I could speak and preach the goodness and the glory and the passion with passion and interest, Lord, of your amazing gospel that changes lives and saves repenting, believing sinners. Lord, I pray that might be the case for some here today. We trust your word, though, is eternal and it will forever accomplish its work. We thank you so much. Help us along through this. Oh, Lord, I need you. Help us along. We love you so much. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So who is Felix? Well, as I mentioned, he was a governor of Judea. He was actually a slave that was promoted by Claudius Caesar, and he became a governor. A little bit about his personal life. I did some digging around about his life. There's some history, actually non-biblical history, that was written about him, which makes even the Bible even more relevant to our lives. There's a senator, a historian, a Roman historian rather, named Tacitus. And Tacitus wrote, he was a contemporary of Felix. That means he lived when he did. So there was a Felix, just like there was a Jesus, just like there is a Jesus. Amen? And so we're talking about real historical people. There's even what's called, you could call it secondary evidence of the Apostle Paul. That's history about Paul outside of the Bible, just like there is a Felix. These are historical characters. And so I learned that Felix was the governor, a former slave. He also had an affair with King Herod's daughter, who was married and later became his wife, and that is Drusilla in verse number 24. Tacitus said about Felix, however, that he was a cruel man. He was very cruel, and he was base, not very outstanding, not much outstanding about him. But he was cruel, and he took another person's wife. He also kept Paul in prison for 2 years, waiting for some ransom money. He thought, Paul's a popular character, maybe I can get some money. So therefore, we can conclude about Felix that he's not much different than you and I. Felix was an ambitious politician. His life was filled with adultery and greed. He was just like you and me. He's got a past. He's got issues. He's got problems. And don't look at him with judgment. You say, well, he's greedy. I bet some of you are greedy too, ain't you? So, well, he's ambitious. There's nothing wrong with ambition if it's the right kind. But I'm sure you and I have been ambitiously wrong before. And you say, well, he's an adulterer. He's not like me. Well, man, have you ever looked at a woman and lusted over her with your eye? Or woman, have you ever considered, I wish he was my husband instead of this bum that I'm married to? If that's the case, then you're just like Felix. Amen. We just sung about it too, that not of works that I have done, right? So he's not different from you and I. What is redeemable about his character, though, is that he's curious about Paul, but then he realized, man, I can get some money out of this deal, which never came. And so Paul had to stay in prison for 2 years while Felix is waiting on a ransom that never came for the Apostle Paul. I guess the Church of Jerusalem couldn't have scraped up enough benevolence to get him out. Maybe Felix was asking too much, but nevertheless, he was a man just like you and me. We see in verse 25 that Paul and Felix, they had a conversation. And notably, and should be noteworthy, that it was about Jesus Christ. And in verse 25, we see that what Paul talked about. It says that he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. So Paul is talking to Felix about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Now we know those are the talking points. It could be that Luke, who is the historian here, who was Paul's physician, was probably there at the meeting. He was a wonderful historian, and he was jotting some notes down. In verse 25, we have the outline of their conversation. We have what Luke said, that the discussion, the subjects of what they talked about. It was a three-point lecture on righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And from that, Felix's response is that he's trembling. It makes him very nervous. It upsets him. It tips over his apple cart. It freaks him out. It makes this powerful man, I would say, come to his senses and begin to see himself as he should. That he, although a governor, is no different than you and me. He, just like any other, born of woman, he needs to be born again. And so this makes Felix tremble. For many of us that are born again, we would say, that's what happened to me before I came to Jesus Christ. Felix, we would say then, he is under conviction. He is getting very nervous about his soul. Some of us have been under conviction maybe for weeks or months. Some of us somewhat dread the Sunday morning or Sunday night services. These subjects make us tremble. You can tremble indefinitely until judgment comes. It would be better to stop trembling and come to Jesus today. Amen. But we find that Felix is trembling over this three-point sermon. Paul begins by speaking to him about righteousness. Paul must have said something like this: Felix, let me tell you something that you need to hear. He probably said what he wrote to us in Romans 3:9, that both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. I'm sure that Felix listened intently and thought, yeah, them Jews, they sure are sinners. And I'm sure the Apostle Paul said, yes, but Gentiles are too. But I imagine at this point, it hadn't really struck home yet to Felix. I'm sure that Paul wrote, or maybe spoke to him about Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Paul must have told Felix, there's none righteous, no, not one, not even you, Felix. There's nobody that understands. There's nobody that seeketh after God, not even you, Felix. You've gone out of the way. You've become altogether unprofitable. You are not good. There's no good in you. Felix, your throat is an open sepulcher. Your tongue is full of deceit. Your mouth is full of bitterness. Felix, your feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in your ways. You do not know the way of peace. And there's no fear of God before your eyes, Felix. Felix probably maybe asserted to the Apostle Paul, well, I must not be too bad. But then the Apostle Paul must have said, like he did in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, but for all have sinned, Felix, and come short of the glory of God. Felix, the wages of sin is death. And Felix, 1 Corinthians 6:9, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I'm sure Felix must have responded to Paul and said, Paul, are you saying, therefore, that I'm not righteous? That I'm not good? Maybe nobody has ever spoke the truth to the governor. I'm glad that God has a man that will always speak truth to power. Amen? And I'm sure the Apostle Paul, yes, unfortunately, it's true. It's true, Felix, even you. There's none that doeth good, Felix. You are not a good person. You mean I'm not a good person, Paul? Yes, Felix, you are not a good person. You've never been good. You're not good at all. Felix, I'm sure Paul said, yes, Felix, you're not good. Remember, there's none that doeth good. You've got to hear what I have to say about this man, Jesus. Remember, Paul spoke of righteousness. I'm sure he said, you're not righteous. And then maybe Felix thought, well, how do I get righteous? And Paul, I'm certain, because since he reasoned of righteousness, why would the Apostle Paul only say that he is unrighteous? I'm sure he began to reason, therefore, nobody can be justified by the works of the law, by the good deeds that you do, Felix. You can't get better on your own. Righteousness only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Felix, you don't have your own righteousness. You need the righteousness of God. You need another righteousness. You need righteousness that comes from heaven. And I'm sure Felix, like many of us have thought, where do I get this righteousness? It comes through Jesus, Felix. It's only through Jesus that you can be righteous. Felix, it's only through Jesus that you could be right with God. It's only through Jesus that you could be made whole. It's only through Christ. And Felix, you've got to receive Him. You've got to receive Him. You have to believe on Him. And I'm sure immediately Felix began to tremble a little bit because he must have thought, I'm the governor. I'm more powerful than Jesus. And Paul must have asserted, no, Felix, no, not at all. All power is given unto Him. He is King Jesus. He's higher than Caesar. You need His righteousness. You don't have your own righteousness. You need Him. You need Him. Maybe Felix at that moment began to get a little bit nervous and a little bit worried. And then Paul began, and strategically and brilliantly, after dealing with the subject of righteousness, he began to talk to him about temperance. And temperance is this ability to control yourself. Temperance is the trait that you can tell yourself no. Obviously, Paul began to suggest to Felix, I'm going to prove how unrighteous you are because you have no control over yourself. Remember, Felix, I told you about your sin. Let me show you what you're doing and that you're not able to quit doing it. You are out of control, Felix. I'm going to prove that you are not righteous. I'm going to prove that you need to be born again because you are out of control. I'm sure Paul said, Felix, it's good. It's not good for a man to touch another man's wife, 1 Corinthians 7:1. Felix, you're supposed to flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. I'm sure, Felix, I'm sure you've drank wine excessively. Well, yeah, I know it. I'm sure, Brother Paul, that since I can't quit doing it, it must be good. But I know, Felix, you think just because you can't stop, therefore you've made it good. But since you can't quit, it proves how bad you are. You mean I'm a sinner, Paul? Yes. Don't you know by now? Don't you understand by now? You can't control yourself. You are absolutely a sinner. Felix, you have no self-control. You're broken in soul and heart. You can't stop yourself. You can't tell yourself no. You can't get a hold of yourself. Why? Why can't I, Paul? Because you are unrighteous and you need to be saved. And Paul began to not only to speak to him about temperance, amen, he began to speak to him also about judgment. Remember our text. Our text says that not only talked about righteousness and temperance, but they also talked about judgment to come. I'm sure Felix must have thought or said to Paul, Paul, since I'm a sinner, and the fact that I'm proven to be a sinner by my lack of self-control and restraint, what will happen to me, Paul, if I do not repent? Felix, you could be turned over to a reprobate mind, Paul could have said, according to Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. If you don't want to retain God in your knowledge, God can give you up. If you don't want God, God can say, fine, you don't have to have God. Well, then what would happen to me, Paul, if God turned me over to a reprobate mind? When Paul would have said, well, Felix, you're doomed. You're doomed. You're doomed. And I'm certain in that moment, Felix began to tremble slightly. I'm doomed. Yes, you're doomed. We've already argued that you're a sinner, proven it by your lack of self-control. The need of the new birth for your life is absolutely evident. You even admit by now you can't quit doing it if you wanted to. You need a new nature. You need to be born again. But what if I don't get born again, Paul? Well, God might not deal with you. God might turn you over. And anybody here today think that if they don't want God, God won't give you exactly what you want. God will absolutely give you exactly what you want. It's comforting to know today, though, listen carefully, if you are seeking God, God will be found. If you're seeking after Christ, Christ will be discovered. But if you're here this morning and you constantly reject Jesus and constantly turn from Him, God just might give you what you want. And what if I don't want Jesus? Felix must have said, well then, Felix, God could turn you over. God could never, ever deal with you anymore. If I don't repent and believe the gospel, Felix must have said, Paul then would have said, well, God will render every man according to his works. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God will be poured down from heaven. Felix, if you don't come to Jesus, then what, Paul? Then what will happen to me? You're doomed, Felix. You're doomed, Felix. What if I don't receive Christ? Felix, you're doomed. You must repent. You must repent. You must believe the gospel. And if you don't, Felix, what would happen, Paul, if I don't? Well, Felix, you're doomed. You'll be under the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. You'll have to pay for every wicked thing you've ever done. The books will be open. God will expect payment. God will require judgment. God will know exactly what you owe. What will I owe, Paul? You'll owe death, Felix. For the wages of sin is death. And that's what you'll have to pay. For how long? Forever, Felix. Forever. Forever, Felix. You'll forever have to pay. Why, Paul, you're making me nervous. You're making me uncomfortable. You're making me afraid. You're making me scared. This seems unreasonable. Oh, no, Felix, it's not unreasonable. For they buried Jesus, and he arose from the dead. And now he commands men everywhere to repent. And you are without excuse. You're without excuse. But I'm not even a Jew, Paul. You're a Jew. I'm not even a Jew. Oh, Felix, don't you know that the same God who is merciful to the Jews will also be merciful to the Gentiles? But you also are guilty as the Jew is, don't you know? Don't you know? For all have sinned. Oh, Paul, you're making me nervous. You're making me scared. This is unreasonable. But no, Felix, it's very reasonable. Don't your heart amen this truth? Don't you agree that this is the absolute truth? Oh, yes, but Paul, this is making me nervous. You're scaring me. You're scaring me. You're scaring me, Paul. We find in verse number 25, Felix said, "Go thy way." You're making me crazy, Paul. No, no, no. Maybe we'll talk later. Go thy way. You get out of here. I can't take it no more. You leave. You leave. I can't take this talk no more. No more. What a wonderful illustration that you could be so close to Jesus and ultimately reject him. What a wonderful illustration that you could be a powerful governor but still need Jesus. What a wonderful biblical illustration that you can have all power in a region, but still the Holy Ghost has power to convict you. What a wonderful illustration of a man who's just like you and me, and he needs Jesus, and he needs Jesus, and he needs Jesus so much. But he says, "Oh no, Paul," verse 25, "go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Listen, the convenient season's right now, amen? Amen, it's right now, amen? Amen, it's right now. It's not later on. It's right now. We see that Felix, he wants to set the appointment, but God sets the appointment. If you're under conviction, praise God. Now is the acceptable time. This is the convenient season. God makes the appointment. He schedules this time, and he has done it. Felix is a representative of many. They are intrigued by the gospel. They recognize, though, that surrendering to the gospel, it might require significant loss. It might require a loss of status. It might require a loss of control over their lives. Felix is wrestling all these thoughts. I can't come to Jesus. I can't be a governor and be saved. I can't be a Roman persecutor, a Roman beater, a Roman brutal man if I come to Jesus. What will everybody think if I come to Jesus? What will Drusilla think? She's a Jew. Her dad's a Jew. Her dad's King Herod, the Jewish king. What will he think if I come to Jesus? What will all the guards think if I come to Jesus? This is making him tremble. Not only judgment to come, not only fleeing the wrath of God, but now he's getting stressed. He's getting anxious because what does it mean on earth to come to Jesus? And many people, they will never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ because they're worried about what their wife might think. They will never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, even though they know it to be the truth, even though they tremble under the sound of it. Felix is just like many people I know. They will never do it because surrendering to Jesus, it might mean for a half second somebody might think,
I thought they was saved. Listen, they'll forget about that thought while they're swallowing macaroni the first lunch after Sunday morning. I wouldn't care at all what folks think, would you? Don't matter to a hill of beans. There's a bunch of people in hell right now. They were worried about what somebody thought. There's a bunch of people in hell right now worried about what their neighbor might think. Worried about what their mother-in-law might think. Worried about what the choir director might think. Worried what somebody might think if they got baptized. They're so concerned about public expression. They're so worried about what somebody thinks. And all of this was on Felix's mind. He represents the masses of people. They are intrigued by the gospel. They know, though, that coming to Jesus, what will it mean for people's personal opinion about themselves? Felix is like many people. They know on a deep level, they understand that what they are hearing is truth, but stubborn pride also will not allow them to come to Jesus Christ. No wonder he's trembling. You know what he's doing right now? He's listening to Paul. He has tore his thumbnail to the quick and it's bleeding. He has. He's listening to Paul. He's picked his cuticle so much that he might even be exposing the nail bed. He's listening to Paul. His heart is racing out of his chest. He's listening to Paul and now he's under conviction. And he's certain that what Paul says about the righteousness that he so desperately needs is true about his life. And he knows it to be true because Paul said, look at how your lack of temperance suggests that it's true. You can't keep your hands off her. She wasn't even your wife. You're a cruel man. You'd never flee fornication. Don't you see what I'm saying? You're not good. Your feet are swift to shed innocent blood. And Felix is listening. He's knowing in his heart, all those things are true about me. It must mean what? I must be born again. And now he's under more stress. He knows he needs to be born again, but now he's under this dilemma. But I can't be. I can't be. I can't be. What would Drusilla think of me if I come home and said, I got saved under the message of the Apostle Paul, and I was wrong all these years, and all that he's dealing with. He's dealing with all of that. You see his plight? No wonder he's trembling. Sweat is running down his thigh, running down his calf. He wants out of there so bad, so bad. He can't stand it. He hates it. He's wringing his hands. His back is sweaty. His hands are clammy and cold. Oh, what is he to do? What is he to do? Well, I know what he should have done. I know what he should have done, don't you? I know what he should have done. He should have just let go and surrendered all and followed Jesus. But oh, there's a lot of people trembling because what would it mean? What would it mean? No wonder Jesus says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, because you can't come to me with all this stuff in your life. You mean I've got to let it go? I've got to let it go. Yes, you've got to let it go. We got a dog ordered. The female is supposed to be pregnant in the spring. It's going to be like a year because of COVID. You can't even get a dog. Amen? I was searching for a type of dog, I got this recommendation on the YouTube. And there's this dog. He's got this big old stick. He comes across this little narrow bridge over this creek. And the dog is running. He's got this big old long stick. And the stick is wider than the railing of the bridge, and he's running, and then whack, he can't get through the gate. He can't climb over the fence. He can't cross over to the other side where his master is. He can't come to the other side. And I thought, I was watching that dog, and I thought, I know a lot of dogs like that, don't you? I know a lot of people like that. They can't come to Jesus because they can't let go of that stick. They want to keep their stick and go to their master, but you got to let go of the stick. And Agrippa, Felix, he's trembling. He's trembling because not only is he fearing wrath of God, not only is he under conviction that, man, I've done so much wrong in my life, guilt. He's also under conviction because he fears the wrath of God. I've not only done so much wrong that's causing me guilt, but I've wronged God. And then it's a time issue because the king is coming and he thinks, I must repent soon. Not only is there a time issue that I might die, there's a time issue that Jesus might come back. And now he's getting stressed, but then He's dealing with what? He's like so many people. They want to come to Jesus so bad, but surrendering means a loss of status, power, control over their own lives. You know what he's doing, don't you? See, it's twofold, really. You come under the conviction of sin and unbelief, and then you come under the anxiety and the strain and the stress of your life. And what does it mean for me to say yes to Jesus? No wonder Felix trembled. Felix trembled. He's trembling. At least he trembled, though. Amen? Amen? At least he trembled. I got to thinking about what folks tremble about. Some folks tremble about dropping their ice cream cone. They do. Especially if you go to Brewster's, that stuff's high. You drop your ice cream cone. Some folks tremble because their car breaks down. Some folks tremble because they didn't get a promotion. Some folks tremble because of their son didn't hit a home run. Or some folks tremble because their son fumbled. Some folks tremble over all kinds of things. But thank God, at least he's trembling over the right thing. I wonder what makes you and me tremble. Felix, thank God he's trembling. Yet his stubborn pride refuses to allow himself to come to Jesus. See, Felix isn't like some people as you preach. They don't care at all about being here, about listening. The only thing they're concerned about is that I came and let's hurry along. That's it. That's it. Felix, though, is like some people. He came, and the whole time he's there, he's deeply concerned about his soul. You know, that's why it's so important that we don't, like, during the preaching, get our neighbor's attention to watch this TikTok video, because they might be like Felix, and just because you ain't, don't mean that they aren't too. Felix is under conviction. Felix is shaking in his dress shoes. Over what? Over the need for his soul to be saved. Over the command to repent and believe the gospel. I wonder if there's a Felix here this morning. I wonder if there's a Felix who identifies with this sermon. And you've been wrestling for many weeks and years. And you wonder, what would someone think? What would it mean about my status? What status? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? I read this great preacher. His name's Lloyd Jones. He once preached, and the Queen of Elizabeth was there. He rose in influence. And we need preachers to preach to those of so-called influence, don't we? But he always understood this common fact about all men, women, boys and girls and queens. He's made a note in his mind before he ever stood every time that I'm preaching to sinners, no matter their status, no matter what they are, no matter who they came from. I'm preaching to sinners and I'm going to preach just like they're the so-called vilest of them all. Because there ain't a governor or a prostitute in the gutter that don't need Jesus. Amen? And Felix trembled. I wonder if there's anyone trembling here today. We've lost the virtue of trembling. We have. We've lost the great virtue of concern. We've lost the virtue of interest. We've lost the virtue of understanding that this is more important than that. And Felix trembled. I'm praying right now some members of my family are trembling. Because if they're not under conviction, they'll never be born again. Amen? I'm praying right now some of you are trembling. Because if you're not trembling, you can't get saved. I'm praying right now that some of us develop just an ounce of concern. That some of us have a conviction about this subject. I pray to God my children are trembling Because if they don't ever realize they need Jesus, they'll never come to know Jesus as Savior. You know that? And what I want more than anything else in this life is for that glorious day that my youngest little 4-year-old daughter comes under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and it wrecks her heart, brain, and body so much where she loses sleep and she's uncomfortable and she's miserable. I want her to be miserable. I want her to be lost. I want her to know that she's lost. I want her to feel the weight of being lost. I want her to fear God and tremble under the wrath of God. I want her to consider how hot hell might be. I want her to worry about how long it might be. I want her to be so stressed out, so messed up, so trembling, at least early, before she's 38 and thinks she's too good for it. I want her to be so much pressed under the weight of conviction that one night maybe she'll wake me up in the bed and say, "Oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, please, please, is there any help for me? Please, what must I do to be saved?" I will not say, "Oh, Maddie, come in another convenient season." I'll not say, "We'll wait till tomorrow morning." No, because this is the moment. And right now is the hour. And Felix trembled. I thank God for trembling, don't you? I thank God for trembling. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. We're going to get a song of invitation. What song are we going to sing, Bryson? I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you're like Felix and you are trembling now, but please don't be like Felix and say, "Maybe in a convenient season, maybe in a convenient season, it'll be better for me after then." Would you dare tell God, "I know you're calling me. I know that the Holy Spirit is drawing me to Jesus. But I just can't right now." Would you dare tell God that? "I can't right now." If God could respond to you, He'd say, "Why not?" You'd say, "Well, I've got my wife here." Your wife. You've got your wife here. Would you dare tell the Lord that, who bled and died and suffered and arose again? Would you dare tell the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that moved upon the surface of the deep and called Mount Everest from the pond to the ocean? Would you dare say, "Oh no, maybe later on I'll do it. Maybe later on." That's insane. That's insane. Maybe you're a Christian. There's another time of trembling. The call to Christian service. Maybe you're a young man and the ministry's calling your name. Maybe you're a young woman and God is saying, "I want you to serve me. I want you to follow me. Don't be like the others and grow old and not follow me. I want you to sing. I want you to teach the little ones. I want you to be faithful to your husband. I want you to be faithful to your church." And you're trembling now, even now maybe. Even now you're trembling as a believer. I was there. I sat right back there for many months and years, and God was calling me. Thank God He didn't give up on me. Amen. Thank God. Is He still calling? Are you trembling? Are you trembling? Listen, you know why you're trembling? You're wrestling with public opinion. You know why you're trembling? You're wrestling with your own self-interest. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I'm convinced if I didn't follow Jesus, my life would be a wreck right now. I know it would be, because all lives without Jesus are wrecked, shipwrecked. I know it. Is He calling? You come on. You come on, you trembling soul. You trembling soul, you come to Jesus. You trembling broken soul, you come to Jesus. Let's sing. Let's sing.